Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and it is that joyful time again, time for the flannel panel, where we gather to do the news of the day from a Catholic perspective. Two magnificent guests here. First of all, the president of Catholic Answers, Chris Check. Hello, Chris Check.
Apparently, it's not time for flannel panel because
I'm cold,
look at
so I put a hoodie over my flannel.
He's lying to you flagrantly.
That's not a flannel shirt.
A person forgets their flannel some days.
On flannel panel day?
It's literally hanging on the back of my door so that I won't forget it on the way out, but it'll be there when I get home. Yeah, I forgot my flannel today. I apologize, gentlemen. I forgot to wear my flannel.
To pack a flannel. You know what I did?
You went out and bought
one
today?
Went to the Salvation Army and bought one for $7.
Oh, this one right here in Santa's?
Yeah.
That is Joe Heschmeyer.
As someone pointed out, probably an easier place to get a flannel in the middle of the summer than in like a normal department store.
The thing is, I made a mistake. I went to a regular store and there was not a flannel in sight. Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers, and also the author of many books, including his new one, of which we are very, very proud. The Eucharist is really Jesus, how Christ's body and blood are the key to everything we believe. Joe Heschmeyer.
I think this is the first time we've announced it on the show, right?
Is this the first time?
I think that might be.
And there it is. I'm holding it up for the camera.
I just physically got a copy yesterday for the first time.
Well, congratulations on the beautiful book.
Thank you.
And excellent timing because there's a whole Eucharistic revival being prayed for now. So congratulations on the whole deal.
I want to give a shout out to the marketing department or whoever designed the actual cover. It has a little bit of what's called spot gloss. And so it's a little shiny.
That's an industry term.
Yeah. Wow.
Spot gloss.
I've been in the industry a long time and I've never heard the term spot gloss.
You're more in the talky part of the industry than the looky part.
I was in the print part of it for...
Oh, yeah. You did that one book.
No, I was the editor of the diocesan newspaper in San Diego.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of glossy newspapers?
No, but you do some glossy
stuff. Explain
the
state of the newspaper industry if that's what the money was being spent on.
We didn't do any newspapers after the settlements, but... ouch. But tell us what the spot gloss is and why you like it.
Yeah.
Because it is actually important to the book.
Like the image, I don't know if you can see it on the screen for those who are watching.
You cannot.
But it's Jesus at the Last Supper. And there's an image, like an outline of a monstrance and overlaid. And the inside where Jesus' face is glossy. And so it really draws the eye. And it's a very beautiful image. And
they
so
did
it really
nice
captures
job.
The idea that it's the Eucharist and that it's Jesus present in the Eucharist.
Was that our own Shane that designed that?
I know he at least was the one who argued for spot gloss. So
he was in the meeting fighting for
you. He's the
you.
One from whom I know the term spot gloss.
All right. So what we do for flannel panel is we wear flannel shirts and we talk about the news of the day.
Oh, wait a minute. Some of us do. Some of us follow the rules.
Breathe. Okay. Yes. I failed. All right. Where's your compassion and your mercy, Chris Check, President?
I'm super abundant of both.
You are super abundant of both. Well, congratulations on that.
Compassion and mercy.
I'm super abundant in my hoodie today. But we talk about the news of the day from a Catholic perspective.
No amount of mercy for me can change the fact that you didn't.
That I blew it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
I can't.
That's true. No amount of mercy can change that. But I got a little special thing for you.
Glory.
This time. At the flannel panel, I don't know if you know the full origins, Joe, of the flannel panel, but a few years ago we decided that we would do an end of year survey of our listeners to ask about the big stories, the big personalities, what the pro-life victories of the year were, all that kind of stuff. And our listeners were kind enough to fill out those surveys. And then we would have Chris would come in and
Todd
and Tim Ryland would come in, Tim Staples would come, various people would come in and we'd discuss it. And that's how we started doing panel shows. And then you got here and it was like a dream. You fit into the panel just like a dream.
I assumed it was more like you needed two people to counterbalance me just so I wouldn't take things totally off course.
That is not at all the case. That is not at all the case. As a matter of fact, you're the one who has provided the good sense. But now—
I thought what he was going to say is that two people were required
to match
his intellectual
Yeah, I think that's what
that's
he meant.
Exactly.
That's probably what he meant.
I'm pretty sure that's what he was going to say, but he stopped himself midway there.
I've got the prudence of two men.
Yeah.
Well, give it back to them. I'm sure they need it. So you can call if you want, but there's a slight chance we'll get you on the air.
If
with
you
us
do
today.
Get on, if you do get on the show, we'll send you a copy of Joe's book.
Yeah, let's do that. 888-318-7884. But you got to talk about what we're talking about. And all that was to say this, that I decided let's try this because sometimes we get No, actually, every time we get to the end of the year and we ask people to remember the stories of the year and tell us about them, they pretty much tell us the stories that happened in the last 3 months.
Yes. Thanksgiving and beyond.
Right. We do not have a long memory in the modern world. So I decided let's do a halfway one. So we're doing a half year in review today. I polled the members of the Catholic Answers Radio Club. They came out in, by their hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, I can say, and answered our survey. And I will share the results with you today, and we'll discuss what the big stories of the first half of the year were.
I can't wait.
Is that really true?
It's going to be. Wait? This is going to be a great couple of hours.
I'm willing to wait.
You're willing? All right. Well, you just do that. Our first question, and by the way I did it this time, because I thought it would be easier on the listener, actually. We had a lot of multiple choice questions.
I saw the questions because I'm a member of the radio club.
And I took the survey as well because I'm a member of Society.
But I can testify to what you did observe earlier. I've completely forgotten what the questions were.
Yes. Well,
I don't remember having received the email. So that tells you, I think, the state of things.
I don't think you belong to the radio club.
I probably don't. Yeah. I'm in Society 315. How many clubs do we have?
More than, how much money does it pay to keep you on the air,
yeah,
Joe?
Yeah, fair enough.
Which of these stories was most on your mind in the first half of 2023? So let me just ask you this. If someone just asked you that, what Catholic story was most on your mind in the last 6 months? What might you say? Or Catholic or related to Catholicism. It doesn't have to be just a Catholic story.
I mean, there've been a lot of
good pro-life story, a Christian
right.
story, either of you have a story that sticks out as...
It's funny. When Joe says pro-life, I don't think of that as an exclusively Catholic story. I guess in some sense...
No, but there's certainly a Catholic dimension. I mean,
sure.
What part of reality isn't Catholic?
Right. All, if it's true, it belongs to us,
right.
As Justin Martyr said.
I'm coming up short because all the stuff I'm thinking of happened last year. So yeah, I'm actually having an opposite problem. I'm thinking of
Cardinal Pell died.
That was the first half of this year?
That was in January. I'll give you some. I'll give you some hints.
Yeah,
there was a synod in Synodal, or there is a synod, Eucharistic
Joe
revival.
Joe has been paying very close attention to the synod on synodality.
There was some attacks on the sacrament of confession. There was that Asbury University, that Holy Spirit
revival
thing that happened.
That was fascinating.
Pope Benedict's funeral was this year.
He died more than 6 months ago, though.
Cardinal Pell died. Church persecutions in China, Nigeria, Nicaragua. That's been going on. German bishops. You could pick your German bishop story.
Yeah.
But German bishops losing also. Father Frank Pavone was laicized.
There are a lot of stories.
There was an incorrupt nun in Missouri that you did a really good episode on.
Thank you.
Bishops suggesting other bishops were committing heresy. All of these things happened.
Yeah. There were, I believe in Uganda, there were 42 children martyrs.
I did not know that, Joe. Tell me about that.
A group of Muslim extremists came into a school and butchered the children who died for the faith.
Good Lord.
And then, of course, we had the canonization or beatification of those Coptic martyrs here. But that was more recently. That was in the second half of this year.
Or last year.
No, excuse me. That was just what? It was a couple of months ago or a month or two ago.
They were just canonized.
Or beatified.
No, I think they were canonized. I think they're saints.
Yeah.
But they were made saints twice, once in the Coptic Church and once in the Catholic Church. Yeah.
This is an interesting list, and a lot of these are tied together by some obvious unrest in the church right now.
Right, right.
Yes.
The one that was probably still on my mind was the constraining of the use of the Latin Mass. But of course, that's
kind of an ongoing story.
But that's from last year.
Yeah, but the booster came in
the booster
in December. That's
there
right.
was the quashing of the Latin Mass, and then the booster quash that happened in December.
There is a term for that.
What's it called?
Booster. There's a term for that letter. What is it, Joe?
A rescript.
It is a rescript.
Yeah. Well, of those,
I like booster better. Though
I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you the percentages on those stories before we go to the break. The synod and synodality, that was the top story for about 9%.
Oh, okay.
About 9%. The Eucharistic pilgrimages and revival, that was the top story for about 14%. The states attacking the sacrament of confession, that was a little less than 9%. The Asbury University, 3%. So the Holy Spirit gets low play.
He's going to work with Protestants.
But he does work with Protestants.
I'm joking.
The funeral of Pope Benedict, that was about 5%. Cardinal Pell's death, that was not a big story. A little less than 2% said that was their main thing. Church persecution, about 13%. Father Frank Pavone laicized. What do you think the percentage on that was? Any guesses?
It was a big thing when it was going on.
Yeah,
it's not a big thing anymore.
7%?
6.5. Nicely done. The sister in Missouri who's
it was more recent. I'm going to say 12% on that.
It was only 5%.
Maybe that's because it was so recent. She was close. She's close to me.
So. Bishops suggesting heresy was 8%.
Oh, that's such an easy
The
one.
Biggest story that most people were concerned about was 25%. One quarter of people said this was bugging them.
Was this something involving politics?
It was German bishops affirming same-sex blessings. Okay. That really bothered people, as you'll see as we go through the rest of the survey.
So again, the church in unrest. Something else about this list is, so you mentioned the school where there was the... sort of the charismatic prayer thing that went on for several days.
Asbury.
Yeah. And then also the incorrupt or evidently incorrupt body of the foundress of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles in Gower, Missouri. And those are both in the single digits among our listeners. And to me, that's interesting. Is that a Catholic reticence about the supernatural? Until, you know, we have some declaration or some official statement or do we just tend to be skeptical of these things as Catholics?
I don't know.
I think there's more of a sticking power to bad news than good news. This is an unfortunate part of human psychology.
And so maybe people are just admitting that sticks in my mind.
When
you ask them what's on your mind.
The bishops is a scandalous thing.
It is.
It's a big, bad scandal. It really is. But to me, the presence of an incorrupt, and I believe she's an incorrupt, in our country is extraordinary.
Right.
This is bigger than the heterodoxy of the German bishops.
So it does have the flavor of, although this will not be a very accurate description, but it has the flavor of God will give you a miracle and you'll still be more upset about the German bishops than you'll be interested in the miracle.
I kind of feel like we're the Jews in the desert, you know?
Yeah, complaining and fussing and all that. Yeah, right. Yeah, it is a universal. I mean, and that's part of the human psyche. That's part of who we are. And I don't dismiss that the German bishops thing is a big one.
By the way, if I were in Germany, we talked about this on a previous flannel panel. And then I think we even got some remarks on social about it. But I can't imagine trying to live life as a faithful Catholic in Germany.
I know. I mean, I've mentioned them before, but I've got family who live in Germany and they're trying to live life as faithful Catholic.
I feel like maybe we should get some interviews with some people who
I'd be, you know, if you want to fly me over, I'm happy to do it.
You really? You're willing
some,
to go
I
to Germany?
I know some English speakers.
So. Well, they have this
You're a
technology
virtual saint,
now.
Joe.
Have you ever heard of Zoom? A lot of work there.
because you do wonder, because the only reporting you get seems like madness. It seems like you get that reporting in the Pillar, like one bishop will vote against blessing same-sex marriage, and all these lay people want to kill that bishop.
Right.
And you feel like, what? It's like a Frankenstein movie or something. That can't be the whole story, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, the stories I'm hearing on the ground are in some cases even worse.
Good Lord.
Because parishes go beyond what the bishops do. And so you have to imagine if the bishops are this crazy. Imagine the edgy parish in town and what they're doing.
Yeah.
And just how difficult it is for people who are actually trying to live Catholic lives to even understand how to do that.
Right, right. Trying to live the Catholic faith as it was lived and assumed that it should be lived even 10 or 15 years ago is becoming a Herculean task for Germans, it would seem. So I don't deny that that's a big story, but it is interesting that what appears to be a miracle, gets a very low number.
I'm at pains now not to give our listeners the impression that I'm a naturally joyful person, or
I don't think anyone who's listening
you're
to
safe
this
on that.
Is
you're
at
safe.
Risk.
You're safe. They know you well enough.
I am as guilty of the pessimism as anybody. But I know
if you had more buoyancy, you'd be a bouncing check.
Ah,
That's Joe. That's just a Joe Heschmeyer thing. Yeah, you can't. We if you ignore it, it happens anyway.
He's happen. Done better. Yeah. Right. But I have.
I've
I have
done
a
worse,
friendship.
Though, in fairness,
I have a friendship with those nuns in Gower, and so I preps that. Causes my excitement to be.
I gotta say though, Chris, I joke about, you know, that and we both joked about no one's gonna mistake you for, you know, bubbly or something like that. But one of the keys of your leadership here, I've told you this before, and I think Joe would agree
Are
with it.
Are you trying to get a raise?
No. No, wait, it is that time of year, right? Fiscal year is about to start. But I think the thing is, you're always saying to us, don't be disedifying. We're in this for the long haul. We teach the Catholic faith. We don't just go with the controversy of the day. You can get more clicks if you want to do controversy of the day. We don't care about clicks. You never put pressure on us about that.
No.
I mean,
no. In fact, we have to be vigilant not to be chasing clicks.
Yeah. And I think this survey, if nothing else, points to that. Even among our own listeners, it's the stuff that's really negative and scandalous and shocking and outrageous. It sticks with us.
Although I got some good
and
news.
And I'm no different.
There is good news ahead in this, okay.
Your survey
in this poll.
Must
there
have gone good. Out before the blasphemy and sacrilege at Dodger Stadium.
It did. Yes, that's right. It did. Yeah. We didn't.
The inartful Dodgers.
Right. I'll tell you what, we got to take a quick break. We'll take that break. We'll be right back. We'll continue with our mid-year survey of our listeners and get reactions from Chris Check and Joe Heschmeyer on the flannel panel right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Hi, friends. Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check in the studio with us. Joe Heschmeyer in the studio. It's flannel panel, and we're talking about the news. It's our half-year review of the news. Our half-year review, we polled our listeners, asked them what they thought the big stories of the year were, and we're just sharing that right now.
It's like Christmas in July. Totally hijacked this.
Oh, yeah.
The end of the year thing just reminded me. Like, we should do this liturgically around, if you've got Christmas, you also have the birth of
John the Baptist. John the Baptist,
yeah. My brother lives in Spain, and on the night before the feast of John the Baptist, you know what they do?
What?
They do two things, one of which is amazing, one of which is bizarre, and I don't understand it. This is also northern Spain. I have no idea if this is how regional this is.
Is it the Basque influence or something?
Probably. Yeah. He's in Basque country. And okay, so yeah. I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to call it Spain. You know, the Spanish-controlled Basque territory. They gather all of the negative things from the prior year. So that includes bills and things. And they put them in a giant bonfire.
Good for them. I like that one. Yeah.
I thought, this is why you had a financial crisis. You're burning your bills. Yeah.
But that's one way to deal with the bills. Yeah. Was that the bizarre one?
No, that's the normal one. The other one, they hit each other with pig bladders. And I don't understand what that sport is about. But that's one
Joe,
of the ways.
You just don't understand fun.
Yeah.
You just don't understand good old Basque fun.
Yeah. I guess they probably think the same thing about football.
Sourpuss. Yeah.
Right. Pig skins. Come on.
One of the great things about working here at Catholic Answers, I've said it again and again, and is the people that visit us. We have some wonderful men here from Exodus 90. If you don't know about Exodus 90, it's a fantastic program, a process, a community. You could probably call it all of those things. You can find out all about it at exodus90.com. But what a wonderful group of men and what a wonderful undertaking. So thank you all for coming in.
You know, the guys from Exodus 90, what they really are doing, and I know they're helping men and women, but my perspective is obviously from the
extremely masculine side.
my pronouns are he, him, him.
Yeah. Him.
So they're holding up that monastic ideal, that is the ideal of Christian life, and showing us all, those of us who are laity living in the world, how we can very much live that elements of that monastic ideal in our lives. So common prayer, asceticism, and self-giving, and then at the heart of it all, of course, liturgy. When I did it, I found the thing that most benefited me, and there are many, was the regular holy hour that is required for this.
Oh,
my friends,
yeah.
You know, you hear me say this. When I hear people say that changed my life, I'm always very skeptical. Regular holy hour, life-changing.
So once again, thank you to the gentleman for coming in. We really do appreciate you here, and I hope we'll get to do things together.
Amen.
I would add, I think what was tremendously helpful is having a community of men, like to have other guys holding you accountable and pushing you on.
Yep.
Basil and Gregory on their feast day, the Office of Readings talks about finding in one another a standard of holiness and the way these two saints helped one another to become saints just by challenging each other.
I remember a Patrice O'Neill joke where he used to say to women.
I feel like you've. Okay.
No, this is going to be good. Okay. He used to say to women, don't feel bad that we don't want to talk to you. We don't want to talk to anybody. And it's kind of a sad reality of modern man. It's a funny joke, but it's kind of a sad reality that we do isolate ourselves. We separate ourselves.
Yeah. It's true. We're less naturally good at the communal aspect of human living, but we need it no less.
Yeah, right.
We need it more than ever now because, we always need it, but there are so many things now that are mitigating against it, or I should say warring against it.
Yeah.
You know, all of the screens and the isolations that they build.
So. Right. You can get a false community.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people might like start Exodus 90 and think, okay, this is going to be a good detox for me, but detox isn't even the proper, I mean, there's an element of that for sure, but you're going to grow in holiness and you're going to grow in Christian fraternal friendship.
And you'll be amazed at the stuff that you have time for once you cut out TV and social media and all the computers.
Yeah, like reading. That's what I discovered.
People say, I'm too busy, blah, blah, blah. You do it for 90 days and think, oh, I guess I wasn't too busy.
And by the way, how did I ever live without that?
Yeah.
Do we have any caller? I heard we have a caller, and I don't. Should I go to? We have a caller. So you know what? The flannel panel tends to be isolationist. We isolate ourselves too much. So I'm going to go to a call. Aaron in Hastings, Michigan, watching on YouTube. Could you push line 2 for me? I don't have it up. Aaron, thank you very much for the call. You got a question or a comment for the flannel panel?
It's maybe off topic. I do apologize if it is.
That's the theme.
I'm actually wondering.
First of all, Aaron, have you been listening? Like, you can't keep these guys on topic if you try. So there's no such thing as off topic with the flannel panel. Say whatever you got, and we'll make mincemeat of it.
Okay. Well, I've actually switched to the state of Vacantism. I was actually wondering how was it?
We have a seat for you.
Yeah,
it's empty.
We have an empty seat
right
for
here.
You for that conversation.
I was actually wondering, how is it that Pope Francis can be Pope when he's spoken so many heresies? Like, I think the most recent one was, I forget how he worded it, was basically saying that there is no hell or downplaying the role of hell.
I have to admit, I missed that one. Maybe Joe is familiar.
I have heard the rumors of that. So, that's a good question. So let's unpack a couple things. Number one, I would encourage you to spend less time reading salacious stories about things Pope Francis may have said. I mean, that is not the nature of what papal infallibility protects. And in this case, the lines are coming from an octogenarian Italian journalist who doesn't take notes, saying that he remembers the Pope telling him there wasn't a hell. But Pope Francis has spoken about hell. He speaks about the devil.
I remember he warned the mafia, stop or you're going to hell.
Right. He has spoken very publicly about hell and about the devil many times. But then you've got this guy saying, oh, yeah, I don't think he believes in hell. He told me he didn't. And, you know, I was a lawyer, right? So that would not be admissible evidence. Then it'd be hearsay. And the reason you don't accept hearsay is you don't know how reliable the witness is, both in terms of their honesty, but also their recollection, especially in a case like this where the guy's not keeping any notes. So it's not helping Pope Francis that he gives interviews to unreliable journalists who he then doesn't correct the record. But the record has actually been corrected with this particular journalist in the past. Eugene Scalarfi, I believe, is his name. So that's one thing, just in the weeds. But the broader thing is twofold. Number one, the Pope may personally fall into heresy. He cannot lead the church into heresy. That's a really important distinction. And you will find theologians who say the Pope can't even personally fall into heresy, but that is not a position that the church dogmatically teaches. So at the very least, we can't say, as a matter of dogma, there can never be a pope who is personally heretical. And in fact, you have the pretty famous case of Pope Honorius, who was condemned by an ecumenical council for heresy, for not combating heresy enough, even though he doesn't seem to have held to that particular heresy personally. But just that he didn't do enough in fighting it. So that's all of that's to say, I think we'll have to get back on the other half of it. But the First Vatican Council is extremely clear that the Roman pontiff is a perpetual office. The state of vicontism is condemned by Vatican I, not just Vatican II.
Aaron, we'll check back in when we get back on the other side. We have to take a quick break. It's Flannel Panel. Chris Check, Joe Heschmeyer, our guests. We're doing the news of the day from a Catholic perspective.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Are you ready to defend your faith in a world of unbelief? Join us at the 9th Annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference. This year's theme, I Believe in God, and it'll help you provide clear and charitable answers to atheism, agnosticism, and plain old indifference. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us in San Diego from September 21st through 24th as we welcome our special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn, and an all-star lineup of great Catholic speakers. Spend quality time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and enjoy 4 days of fun, fellowship, and adoration of the Almighty. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register. Enter promo code EARLY and save $50. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's the Flannel Panel. I always look forward to the Flannel Panel because it's a lot of fun to talk with Joe and Chris about the news of the day from a Catholic perspective. A little unusual for us to take calls just because we are so into listening to each other talk that we don't usually, but I'm so happy we got some calls. You can give it a try, 888-318-7884. We're talking with Aaron right now in Michigan who says he's a state of a contest and asking a very direct question. If Pope Francis says things that are heretical, how can he be the Pope? You address that.
Yeah. But what I wanted to make really clear, and I alluded to it right before the break, is the First Vatican Council in 1870 says very clearly, therefore, if anyone says that it is not by the institution of Christ the Lord himself, that is to say by divine law, that Blessed Peter should have perpetual successors in the primacy over the whole church, or that the Roman pontiff is not the successor of Blessed Peter in this primacy, let him be anathema. So state of vicontism is explicitly condemned. There will never be a situation where we are just left perpetually without a pope. And so it's not possible. We know that with the clarity of a defined ecumenical council. There are a lot of other things we don't know with that level of clarity, like what did Pope Francis mean by that comment? Did he say that comment? Those sorts of things. So as a matter of basic theological principles, you start with what's clearest. You interpret opaque things in light of clear things. And a very clear thing is that we're not going to be in a situation where we don't have a pope indefinitely. And we're going to have perpetual popes. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a period. You know, a pope dies and it's a few weeks before you get another one.
Or actually even a few years in some cases.
Yeah, the longest period is 2 years. That is totally different from saying there have been no popes since Pius XII or no popes since Benedict. Or, you know, this would be a whole... One of the problems is to have a pope validly, you have to have people who can elect him. And so if you don't believe that there are cardinals and you don't believe there's a pope, then you are in a situation where you're left with the kind of perpetual lack of head that we're promised won't ever happen. Because if you understand why the papacy exists, which I cover in my book, Pope Peter, which I'm happy to send him, then you'll understand why we're never going to be in the situation Sede Vacantis claim we're in.
I'll tell you what, if you, I don't know, because Aaron, I know we've sent you books and maybe you have Pope Peter. We're definitely going to send you Joe's new Eucharist book because Chris promised it to anybody who called. If you don't have Pope Peter, we'll send it to you. But we also have a very nice little book called 20 Answers the Papacy we'd like to send you.
And if you want to continue this, if you want to email me at radio@catholic.com, they'll pass it along and I'd be happy to keep the conversation going if that's something that you're interested in, Aaron.
You know, Aaron, of course, I assume the best of the state of your heart. We've never met and you're in our prayers. But I'm going to tell you something that I know you know, and that is that schism offends against charity. This is in St. Thomas. And my advice to you, well, in addition to what Joe said about getting off the internet and quit reading accounts of what the Pope may or may not have said, and he certainly has said plenty of things that I think we can put in the disorienting category, spend some time contemplating that truth, that schism offends against charity, sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and God will clarify it for you.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks very much. Just a couple comments from Facebook. Patrick, our good friend in New York, says he never got the questionnaire. So I apologize for that because
We deliberately didn't send it to Patrick.
Oh, we kept Patrick out of it. We didn't want to know what Patrick said.
He was going to say too much banter. That's you guys right. need to move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he says every time.
Oh, that's
Patrick,
mean.
You,
I don't know what happened, Patrick,
Patrick,
but it wasn't
you
that.
You have to come to the conference in September in
he's
order
coming.
To submit your answers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's coming. Michael, who's also coming to the conference, says that we should just call the show Psy and Two Lumberjacks. So I don't know. I think that's a good one. All right. So back to the survey that we did, our question number two.
Actually, sorry, before we go on, if I could do two things. Number one, I was going to say happy 15th anniversary to Geneva and her husband. No, my friend Neil. I promised him I would say happy anniversary to his wife.
Oh, very nice. Happy anniversary.
And, yeah. I'm trying to show him up.
And you said 15th anniversary?
He couldn't think of what to do for his wife. So I said, oh, don't worry. I got it covered. So
good job, Joe.
Yeah, nicely
now
done,
you've
Joe.
Made, now you've even made it harder for that.
That was my intention.
Way to
that
go.
That was my goal.
You know, you can't accept money for that. I think it might be simony, but you can accept a gratuity.
There we go. Second, I think we should take the caller on line one very briefly because I think she has an important message for you.
Oh, really? The caller on line one?
That's good.
All right. Well, tell me the name.
Shanna in Sioux City, Iowa.
Shanna in Sioux City, Iowa. You're on the flannel panel.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling with a suggestion.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of the flannel panel. I really enjoy you guys. But this is not the first time someone has forgotten their flannel. So my suggestion was perhaps an emergency flannel box, perhaps next to your AED or your fire extinguisher.
You know,
that you could break the glass.
We might need a couple of different sizes.
You know, yes. Yeah, first of all, Chris better not forget his shirt because he's not going to fit in the one that'll fit me and Joe. Or he'll fit in it, but he'll swim in it. But I want to hear something really sad. Our good friend Ann sent
she
us
mailed you.
Emergency.
Yeah.
And I brought them home and forgot to bring them back. So this it's worse than you think, Shanna.
The phrase
it's worse
foolproof
than you think.
Underestimates how good
yeah.
fools.
Yeah, fool. Yeah, it's hard to be foolproof around here. Thank you for the suggestion. I feel scolded and demeaned.
Do you want to announce your shirt size on the air, Cy, and see how many you get in the mail?
No, because it's a hard size to find. Let me just put it that way.
People would excel if they Shanna, were able to send you some.
Shanna, do you want a copy of Joe's book, The Eucharist Really Is Really Jesus?
Of course.
I'm a medium.
Right. Thank
I'm just
you
saying,
for your call.
I'm just letting
Thank
people
you.
Know.
We can't consult you.
Oh,
no
the
mediums.
Light went on.
Yeah, no the mediums. okay, so the let's go on with our yes. We're on to question two.
At this rate, we're actually probably above where you realistically thought we'd be.
Yeah, this is Chris's famous thing. Are you sure we have enough material for the flannel panel? Yeah, Chris, we have enough material. We're going to be fine. Regarding the synod on synodality, which word best represent your feelings? So this is synod. No, I'm not done yet. This is how we're going to play this. I want your answer, and then I want what you think was the big answer.
Okay.
Which word represents your feelings on the synod on synodality? Dread, hope, annoyance, enthusiasm, boredom. Which of these words represents your feelings on the synod on synodality? Dread, hope, annoyance, enthusiasm, or boredom? Play along at home. Which one would you choose? Which one do you think our listeners chose?
I would, if there was a mild interest category, I would have chosen that one.
So that's a little better than boredom.
Yeah, I might go boredom. My feelings are slightly better than boredom.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, I imagine this is going to be something we talk about and talk about and talk about, and nothing substantive happens, because most giant church-wide consultation processes that last years and years end up there in like some vaguely worded, we should all be better Christians kind of statement that no one's going to really disagree with. And then there's going to be a footnote that's really shocking and confusing. And then we're going to debate that for a few weeks and then, and then move on.
Boy, it's a romantic view of the life of the church you have. Yeah.
Well,
all right. So that was yours. Yours is a little better than boredom is what you choose.
I'm going to guess either boredom or dread for
Chris,
our listeners.
What one would you choose? What describes your feelings?
Of the choices that you gave, probably annoyance.
Okay. And what do you think our listeners?
I would just say that it is annoying when the church or when prelates use such vague language that all kinds of meanings can be attached to it. And I don't think the formation of the faithful proceeds as a result of that. It does not. And I just think, I think the faithful are just, maybe I would say frustrated if that were a choice rather than annoyed, but frustrated.
Yeah, I would also.
Stop editing my choices. Frustrated. Well, right, the two of you.
Our listeners, I'm going to guess dread.
Well, this point that you make though about the subtlety of the terminology. I know bishops who have developed a second career talking about synodal and what synodal means and what a synodal church looks like.
By the way, if you have to tell me what it means,
then stop it.
It has to be explained to me.
I get it. You're very smart, but that's not helping the church. No. You have to write articles and go on podcasts to describe what a synodal church is. Then you're not ever going to get a synodal church.
No.
That's never going to happen. No. All right, here's going from least to most on that question. The lowest was enthusiasm. That was 2.73%.
And then hope.
Well, it's kind of a weak word. The next lowest was boredom, 15%. Okay. Up next at 20% was annoyance. At 29%, hope. And at 32.5%, dread. So it's funny. It's a real split.
Actually,
it's a real split between hope and dread.
I want to commend anybody who answered hope.
I know. Good for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yep. I wish I were there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that, to put maybe a finer point on the annoyance or the frustration, to solicit someone's opinion in a way that is not going to do anything actually feels like worse than not. You know, I feel this way not just about things in the church, but if I go to a store and they send me like a user survey, and I know it's not going to do anything, it's super annoying at a certain point to be like, why? Why are you soliciting this feedback?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced something substantive might potentially happen with even the aggregate of everybody replying to you.
Right.
Yeah. What's the point here? Like if the DMV gives you a survey and you're like, it was bad. It was really bad.
Did Monica Dumit tell you her synod on synodality story? By the way, she's
naming her by name.
She's
she told it to me in confidence. Here, share it with the whole world, Chris. Please share.
She's going to be there in October with a front row seat.
Oh, God bless her.
But she was at one of the original parish meetings where they had facilitators and at each table, and then they had a mix of people at the table of clergy and laity. And the first question that everyone had to answer is, what's your greatest fear? And one person of significance at the table said, being booed. And Monica said, well, what about hell?
or you live in Australia. What about spiders?
What about hell?
Yeah. What about hell? No, not so concerned
God
about that.
God bless Monica Dumit.
She's great. And it was so great to have her here. All right. Well, I think we got to take a quick break.
My
we'll
friends,
be right
don't be afraid.
All right. Let me tell you what the next question is. Regarding the U.S. bishops' efforts at Eucharistic revival, which would you say best represents your feelings? And it's the same words. So we'll find out when we come back right after this. Yeah, Catholic
I'm
Answers
much
Live.
More optimistic.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, why don't you air these people? And I said, no, because I don't think they're Catholic. He says, by what right do you have to say that? I said, I own the network.
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, the host of the flannel panel. Yes, I did forget to wear my flannel shirt for the flannel panel. I didn't forget to wear it. I forgot to bring it. I hung it on the back of my door and then walked right past it, probably because one of my dogs was barking at me on the way out the door. Ross Hayden says, why isn't Cy wearing a flannel? Ross, show up on time. Then you'll be up to speed.
You know,
with us.
That's big talk from a guy who couldn't even show up with the flannel.
Sorry, Ross. I take it all back. Hey, the flannel panel is going to Rome, and we have exciting news about our pilgrimage to Rome, November 9th through the 18th this year. Big news, big news.
It's half sold.
It's we want to just finalize the deal. So yeah,
we're only taking 50 people, folks.
Right, and once it's sold out, it's sold out. We're not doing a second bus because that's just not how we do pilgrimages. We go on pilgrimage.
In fact, we spend very little time on a bus. It's mostly on foot.
And we're gonna have a great time, and we want you to come. But so we decided to have. What's the word for a sale?
Flash sale.
$300 flannel credit. If you bring a flannel, $300
off. $300
off
the world's best flannels. No, $300 off if you finish signing up. You don't have to finish paying, but you just finish signing up by July 11th. So it's a big, exciting time. We want to close the books on who's coming and who's staying. And we also want to stay in. There's a very particular hotel we want to stay in. And we want to close that deal, make it final. And so we said, hey, let's have a flash sale. We'll get this done. So if you sign up by July 11th, $300 off per person, starting right now. Go.
Yep.
I go to Catholic Answers Pilgrimage.
Only 25 seats left. By the way, it is a beautiful hotel. It's my favorite hotel in Rome.
CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. By the way, you can do your own. It includes everything. So when you look, it includes everything, even the tips. Like we're not asking you to, you know, you go on most pilgrimages, you got to throw in a little something for each church you visit and all that. No, we're taking care of all of it, everything.
Yep.
But if you look at it and you go, hey,
I
can get to Rome cheaper than that. I don't want them to
just do the land only.
Just do the land only. And, you know, that takes off another, I don't know, $1,500 or
$1,200
or something.
Whatever that round trip airfare is.
Yeah. So check it out, CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com, CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. And this show, Flannel Panel, will be recorded live in Rome, the first time we have ever done a radio program from Rome. And when I say recorded live, I mean recorded live. It's not going to be broadcast live. It will be recorded live.
Is there another way to record?
We're going to be alive while we're recording it.
And the pilgrims will be the studio audience.
Yeah, the studio audience. All the questions will come from our pilgrims. Catholic.
We don't take questions during flannel panel.
Answers. Pilgrimage.
But we will in Rome.
Well, we are now because we promised. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. We promise to treat you better than we treated the callers to this show today. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. All right. So another question we asked all of our listeners except for Patrick. We don't know why, Patrick. We don't know what happened. Regarding the U.S. Catholic bishops' efforts at Eucharistic revival, which would you say best represents your feelings? Dread, hope, annoyance, enthusiasm, or boredom? Once again, dread, hope, annoyance, enthusiasm, or boredom. Which one is for you, Joe?
I hate having to choose between hope and enthusiasm. I feel both. I'm actually very – this is one area where – So look, if the complaint I had about the Synod on Synodality is that it was vague as to what the goals were, vague as to what was going to happen, I don't have any of that with the Eucharistic revival. That it's very clear what's intended and how they're hoping to get there. And so I have hope. I mean, I don't think it's going to be the only thing we need, but I think this is a huge part of a real religious revival in the country. So I would say hope, okay. Followed by enthusiasm. And I suspect listeners would as well.
I answered this one, hope, and for the reasons Joe said. I also have been in regular contact with Joel Stepanek, who is running the conference in Indianapolis, the big event next summer, and Father Craig Vosick, who is working directly under Bishop Cousins. And both of these are first-rate Christian men. So I know that the leadership that's putting this thing together are very, very fine men with good and correct objectives. And yeah. I answered this one, hope. I think it's a great thing. And I'm glad that Catholic Answers is able to play a role and help promote it.
Well, here's what our listeners said. Dread was the lowest. I beg your pardon. Annoyance was the lowest at 1.2%. Dread got 1.7%. Boredom got 2.8%. Enthusiasm got 27.5%. And hope got 67%.
Praise God.
Which means
I love our listeners.
More than 95% of our listeners are feeling either enthusiastic or hopeful or both.
Wonderful.
About so I told you there was going to be a good twist.
Can I use this as a point of departure for something?
Yeah.
My friends, if you feel this hope and this enthusiasm, I'm very glad that you do, but I want to challenge you to do something with it. I'm quite serious. Joe's holding his book up.
Joe's holding his book up. Yeah.
Get Joe's book. I don't know what we sell these books for, but it's like nothing.
Oh, it's 33% off right now.
If you buy them in like boxes of 20, it's $70. That's $3.50 a book.
Okay, so that is a whale of a deal. Buy several cases of these for your parish and
just
tell
you sell them. Don't tell anyone. You can do this.
And tell
no,
your
give them away.
Tell yeah. your pastor yeah. that you will pass them out on Sunday, and let's get people competent talking about what the church teaches about the real presence.
I want to give a shout out to my own wife here because she was at dinner with a couple of her girlfriends who are even. Evangelical Protestants. And one of them said, "What is worship anyway?" And she said, "Oh, my husband just wrote a book about that." And so she's going to do a little book study with them on
Beautiful.
The book. And so, yeah, those kind of opportunities. It's intended to be written in as inviting a way as I could while still being honest about the differences.
Let's channel Catholic that enthusiasm and that hope, my friends, into conversations, inviting
yes.
people to the love of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist.
Okay, so my understanding is there will be actual walking pilgrimages as part of this next summer.
Shall we sign you up, Sonny?
I want to do it so bad. Like, I want to walk for days with the, like, they're going to carry Christ in the monstrance. Is that right? Like,
yeah.
Can we do that?
The
can I get some days off work is what I'm asking to go walk with Jesus.
I don't think you need to take vacation for that. We'll just send a tape recorder with you.
Yeah, you're going with your boss. I mean, ultimately.
Yeah, that's right. He is our boss.
It's a work
that's
trip.
That's exactly right. Oh, I hope he doesn't do an evaluation.
I've read Matthew 25.
That is coming. Yeah, that is
no,
coming.
No, but I just mean now. Yeah.
A mid-year review.
Yeah, I don't want to miss. I don't want to know how I'm doing now. I want to see how this all wraps up first. But doesn't it seem like I think that's going to be so great to walk through cities and towns
not
and
Chicago.
Farmlands. And
true.
I'll walk through Chicago, but I know they're not going to have the monster. But maybe the Cardinal will relent there and allow it. I mean, lighten up. Come on.
Maybe we can walk around Chicago 7 times.
Joe, that is not... Stop it, Joe. But maybe we could like
blowing a trumpet.
Wait, so they'll be in the points of the compass, right? There's going to be one north, south, east, and west, or something, and you
they're
head
all
going to
converge in Indianapolis.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe I'll do.
If I have a beef, and this is the only beef I have, it should have been Kansas City. It's more central, but still, it's still beautiful.
Wait, then Indianapolis is more central.
I think so.
But you know what you're thinking of geographic. Yeah, but population is way east, man. Most Americans live east of the Rockies. They're making a mistake, but that's where they live. All right. all right. Well, I almost gave out the phone number. I'll give out the phone number.
Hartville,
again.
Missouri is the nation's center of population based on the latest U.S.
Hartville, Missouri?
Data.
Really?
That's farther west than I would have thought. Salt Lake City would have been fun.
That would have been awesome.
Well, I almost mentioned this before. The Mormon belief is that Jesus will return in Jackson County, Missouri, which is also where Sister Wilhelmina is.
Oh.
I believe. She's within an hour from there. So, yeah. And it's where Kansas City is. All of it is pointing to the same.
And place. There's an article on Catholic Answers Magazine online right now about why I'm not Mormon. Have you seen that? I didn't read it yet, but you saw it? Okay, good. I thought for a second I hallucinated, but no, because they were both looking at me like I'm weird. But
no, I missed that actually.
Who does? Trent has a podcast out about what?
Why I'm not Mormon.
Mormonism.
Not Kansas City. He should.
All right. I want to take is Shauna in Daytona Beach, Florida on the line right now? Is that all right? Shauna.
Yes.
Hi, Shauna. Go ahead.
Hi.
Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, absolutely. Hi, Joe. You're one of my favorite apologists in my top two.
Thanks. I want to ask who the other one is.
Wait, he made the top two of your favorite apologists?
Yes, that would be Jimmy Akin.
All right. Wonderful.
Well, who are your top two favorite hosts?
Moving on. Moving on. We don't need that kind of trouble here, Shauna.
Yes. Okay, so my question is it true that the Synod of Synodality is open to all people to give their thoughts and comments, or is it only for Catholics?
Oh, what a wonderful question. Yeah, I believe
that's right.
It is the latter. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, it's the former.
Yeah.
Anybody could comment? Like,
yep.
Which, you know, and as far as it's a listening session, I think as long as you're clear where these thoughts and ideas are coming from, it's not bad to say, you know, so for instance, the Council of Trent invited the Protestant reformers to come. They didn't come.
Yeah.
We're all about.
Well, they might have made a prudent choice in not coming.
Well, that was the claim. They were saying, Jan Hus was killed by the Holy Roman Emperor. But look, how many of the Protestant reformers were martyred? I mean,
that's true.
The myth is much bigger than the reality.
Yeah.
Where, you know, when you had martyrdom, it was often for these really complicated political reasons, like in England. Yeah. And it was hardly in one direction.
Though. So, Shauna, are you a non-Catholic?
I became Catholic last year.
Hey, welcome home, Shauna.
Praise God. How beautiful. And when did you discover Joe Heschmeyer on that walk towards the church? After you were already in?
Oh, no. You guys are like hugely instrumental to me even becoming Catholic. I had a thought, you know, that I need to become Catholic after a medical issue. I was actually a yoga teacher studying Buddhism. And so I just found Catholic Answers and started learning. And by the time I approached a priest about becoming Catholic, he was like, my gosh, you know a lot.
Wow.
I'm like, I listen to Catholic Answers.
Oh,
praise God. That is such beautiful.
Thanks for the shout out to the clergy, too. Appreciate that. Wow. What a beautiful story. I'll tell you what, we're definitely going to send you the Eucharist is really Jesus, how Christ's body and blood are the key to everything we believe. That's Joe Heschmeyer's new book. But is there any other book that we have? And this is not a trick question. Don't worry. Joe's laughing. But is there any other book that we have that you'd like us to send you?
Pope Peter.
Pope Peter. Okay. All right. Pope Peter. Your Joe Heschmeyer library has begun.
Yay!
Oh, thank you very much, Shauna. I'm honored and welcome home. That's tremendously
welcome home.
Tremendously
thank you so
beautiful.
Much. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks. All right, we are gonna have to head into the break, but we've got another hour of Flannel Panel. We discuss the news of the day, and I do have some news stories I might throw at you guys. But we're gonna finish this survey that we did of all of our listeners except Patrick, and we got some big questions coming, the biggest questions yet to come. Chris Check is president of Catholic Answers. Joe Heschmeyer is Shauna's second favorite apologist. And I am Cy Kelly, your host. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Flannel Panel. Don't forget, while we're at this break, perfect time to go to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. We'll finish filling up that bus, and then we'll all go to Rome. And you get $300 off if you are signed up. You don't have to be paid up, but if you're signed up by July 11th of this year, because we're having a flash sale, CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. Right back with more Flannel Panel on Catholic Answers Live.